Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Over Night America. It's going to be the first full week of the year for me. Wow, how did that happen? It goes by so quick. So quick! Too quick. Well, we have 3 hours tonight, and what do you want to do for these 3 hours? I got a couple of clips from the Golden Globes. Oh, I don't pay attention to it except when, everyone points out just how hilarious Ricky Gervais, his opening intro, when he gives his monologue and tells his jokes. Oh, my. Oh, my. I like when people inside of Hollywood make fun of Hollywood people as opposed to just kissing up to them. And, man, he was not letting up on it. So this whole idea about shutting up about politics, oh, my goodness. Here, this is from NBC earlier.
Made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God.
And this is where they bleep it out.
So,
thank your agent, thank your God, and then you can read his lips, but it's, you know, get the blank off stage, basically, is what he's saying. You spend less time in school than Greta Thunberg or whatever. Oh, that is funny. So he did about a 7-minute monologue or so, 6 or 7 minute monologue, and there were some really funny moments. I might have to play some of that later in the show for you. It was just too good. All right, so this weekend, a lot has gone down when it comes to Iran, and I think a lot of people are starting to take sides. It doesn't matter your political affiliation. Well, it does. I mean, if you're on the left right now, you're out there yelling and screaming. The only reason why you'd want to take out a terrorist is not because he's a sitting threat or an ongoing threat to the United States. It's because, well, it's pointing a different direction than impeachment at this point. Well, I don't know exactly how far this impeachment will go. Nancy Pelosi still hasn't turned the papers over, and I think Lindsey Graham's already out there mentioning that if she doesn't do it by the end of the week, then Senate may have to take action on their own to just speed up this process, as opposed to it being this looming thing you hold over. There was a lot of different reactions to it, and, you know, even some Republicans like Rand Paul condemning this strike. And he was on Fox News.
Senator, you were saying that U.S. soldiers deserve better than an undeclared war with Iran. Do you think that's what we're looking at here?
I think the problem is that there is an open question whether or not attacks from Iran are more or less likely. You can say that Soleimani was plotting to attack the U.S. May well be true. But with his death, do you think it's more or less likely that Iran and their militias and their proxies will attack the U.S.? I would argue that it's much more likely. And I think as you have an escalation, if they were to kill U.S. soldiers, there will be another response from us, which will be a further escalation. I think without a declaration of war, without Congress and the American people behind it, what you get is a messy mission. You get a mission of escalating intermittent violence, but it really has no purpose or plan, and the country hasn't been told to be united. The president said he didn't want perpetual war in the Middle East, but he's adding more and more troops. If you don't want perpetual war, you don't keep sending more targets over there.
All right, so this is where it's at right now. Rand Paul has always been this sort of watchdog in the sense of spending when it comes to wars in the Middle East. And you can listen to a couple of the different reactions to this, and I have one from Marco Rubio. And he has been not necessarily on the fence. He's probably been more in the camp of President Trump than on the fence, but he certainly has criticized him at times. not a fun campaign back in 2016. They did not have some kind words for each other then. It's interesting to see some of the people that have changed since then. But, you know, Marco Rubio, he was on CBS.
Soleimani was a threat. He was not there on a diplomatic visit. He was there on a terrorist mission.
Are you concerned, though, about what the strategy is here? Overnight, President Trump issued a threat on Twitter to bomb 52 sites in Iran. What is the administration's strategy? Has it been explained to Congress?
Yes, at least I understand it, and it's called self-defense. The United States has over 5,000 military personnel.
This is where he lays out his argument. So it's much different than Rand Paul's, who says, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what does it matter if you take out one terrorist leader? Normally I love what Rand Paul has to say, but man, I think he's off on this. I think this is a nasty dude. But Marco Rubio, I want you to listen to how he lays it out, and I think he does a pretty good job of it.
Yes, at least I understand it, and it's called self-defense. The United States has over 5,000 military personnel in Iraq, and of course additional personnel in Syria who are under direct threat, not just from Iran, but from their proxy groups. And Iran needs to understand that if we are attacked, whether it's directly by the Iranians or through these proxy groups, we will respond. This president has shown, he's not getting a lot of credit for it, but tremendous restraint after 11 rocket attacks, after everything that happened in the shipping lanes, after the mines that they placed on those ships, after the attacks against Saudi Arabia. He has shown tremendous restraint in not responding to those. But now we have reached a new level, and it was time to enforce the crossing of these red lines.
So, but do you think the president's failure to follow up on his past threats against Iran to carry out some kind of action against all the things you just laid out that Iran was doing, did that force his hand on this? Is that what you're suggesting?
All right, so listen to the answer, too, with Marco Rubio. But when you start to look at the way the United States and Iran have interacted over the last couple of years, certainly you have some of these nations, the ones that are not friendly to the United States, Iran being one of them, North Korea being another one, too. And you find that there's a lot of tough talking that goes on. But what we've seen, what's different with like a North Korea than Iran, is that Iran has actually shot down drones. They've attacked. They've missile bombed. They've threatened other allies, including Israel in that sense. So Marco Rubio is looking at this and he's saying, well, if you want to talk about escalation, maybe it's at the point where Iran has escalated to this where we have to respond to it. You know, how many times are you going to go up and let's say you're the drunk guy at the bar and you start tough talking the bouncer. You know, how many times is the bouncer going to take it before he kicks you out or, you know, gives you one to the face? How many times does that have to happen before? And I think when it comes to President Trump and the way Iran historically has been, they've gotten away with an awful lot with the United States, an awful lot. They've gone through past administrations where the answer has been, let's pay them off. If we just give them money, then they'll go away, or at least they'll de-escalate. In that sense, we're going to have to bribe them to be good. We're going to have to, it's almost like the spoiled brat kids, you know, if as long as we keep giving them money, then they won't act as bad, right? But we all know that doesn't work in the real world. And President Trump comes in and completely changes the philosophy of it. He continues to take these hits. And listen to what Marco Rubio says in response to what CBS's answer was.
No, what I'm suggesting is that the Iranians, at the end of the day, do cost and benefit analysis. And for whatever reason, they calculated that the benefits of these continued attacks through the use of these proxy groups, what the benefits of that outweighed the costs. And it was time for the president to reset that analysis for them. And he did through this strike and through the strike last Friday as well. And so it was an important moment and had to happen. But here's the bottom line. The president of the United States
had actionable, reliable intelligence. I think there are a lot of people concerned.
And you know, they go on to that or whatever. But, you know, Marco Rubio's out there saying that President Trump has shown some great restraint up until this point after all of the different attacks and things Iran has been handling. Two different approaches to it. Marco Rubio, Rand Paul. You know, there's a lot of other people talking about it right now. I have a couple of interviews, one from CNN, one from Fox with Mike Pompeo. We'll get to those in a moment, too. But I want to open this up. If you're out there listening and you're thinking, well, a lot's happened over the weekend and people are just a little bit, you know, they're on edge. They think we're about to go to World War III. I don't think we are. I don't think this is the path to World War III by any means. To me, I feel like something crazy would have to happen. Sure, there's going to be more strikes. There'll be more military targeted strikes if there are other actions that happen. And certainly Iran is pointing to that conclusion. But I don't think it's going to start a world war over something like this. Something crazy would have to happen. Iran would have to use one of their nukes. I mean, do we all believe that they don't have the capabilities, or they haven't been hiding that they have some capabilities? I don't believe that they haven't been using it to enrich weapons. I will say this. If Iran does something crazy, like go out there and just can, outside of like a missile attack, if they go out and they drop something big and they target certain, you know, targets in Israel or United States military, and then the United States goes back, sure, it's not going to de-escalate all that quickly. There's going to have to be a response to that. I don't think it leads to a World War III. I think all it leads to is just some targeted missiles. 314-436-7900 is the number. You can call or text that line, or 800-925-1120. Certainly is a lot has happened over the weekend. I got to stop saying certainly so much. So much has happened over the weekend. Yes, and we're going to see probably, I don't know, 20 hours of reaction tomorrow on the air, but this is really your first chance to do it. I know everyone's going to be talking about it because, hey, we're on first. That's what Sunday nights are all about. We get on the air before anyone else, and we get the chance to bring it up. It's Overnight America, KMOX. I think a lot of people are watching what's going to happen between the United States and Iran. I think so many times the United States has been slugged and no one expects anything to happen back. I mean, how many times can the United States take it before we all agree that it's too much? Like, where's that line that you got to cross? And as opposed to trying to find ways to make it financially, because the philosophies of if we were to just help them, then they'll just cut it out. Then they'll realize they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. Philosophy doesn't work. And what we've also seen is that the continued strikes over and over, you know, they get tiring. And I'm sure if you get the intel reports and you read those and you look at, okay, Iran did it again and again and again and again and again. How many times you got to wait until you respond? And this was just the first response. And he's saying, all right, don't test me again. I'm getting tired of this. I think, too, where we're at as a country, it wouldn't be good for us financially to get into it. The economy is still doing really well. What you don't want to have to do to try to justify this is, oh, well, I mean, the stock market's up 10,000 points, so we're still doing pretty good, all things considered, even if we drop in half that gain that we've seen in the past, you know, 3 years. Now, I don't like that either. I don't think there's a lot of confidence around war. I don't think people want to see a war. But the reality of having no response to these attacks is a far bigger, complicated problem, which is, are we just going to think to ourselves, well, as long as it's not on the mainland, they can continue to do whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want, and we're just going to sit this one out, is a dangerous thought, too. Let's get a couple of your calls at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Overall, if you want to talk Iran, you can do that. A lot of people are taking sides right now. Good move or bad move, the way we're handling Iran. Good move or bad move? Which way do you see it? Let's go to Jeff, who's in Ferguson. Hi.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
I was thinking about all these claims by some people, like you mentioned, how he's doing this to distract from the impeachment.
Mm-hmm. Some people are saying that. They're saying that's the only reason why this is happening right now.
I don't see how that makes sense. It would only make sense if the impeachment was hurting Trump. But all the polls and indications are it's really not hurting him much at all.
Yeah, I guess that's interesting. They did vote on it. That was exactly what was expected given the control in the House. But nothing's been handed over. Nothing's happened with it. It sits there. So, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, is he going to just say, I'm not allowed to do anything for here on out as long as you hold that over my head? I don't think so. I also think there's also these limited windows of when you can strike these major targets. You don't want to miss those opportunities. Like, remember how many times we brought up Bill Clinton had the chance to kill Osama bin Laden, decided not to? All those times that brought up over and over, because sometimes those windows are pretty limited before they go back into hiding. You got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I got a feeling if Iran does not respond, or at least in a way that is big or at all, this will probably be old news by Friday.
You think so? Isn't that crazy how fast the news will cycle out?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that this could be old news. It's right. If Iran
only if
does
Iran
something,
does not respond. Only if Iran does not respond.
And they've done some other things. I mean, they're going to have other flare-ups for sure. They're going to have other attacks on bases or raiding or whatnot, or some of their affiliate groups, ones that they're funding, will come up and you'll see things
unless
there.
Unless they don't do something too big, like attack a ship, U.S. ship or something like that. That would definitely be
that would be a major mistake on their behalf. Do you think Trump's bluffing here?
No, I don't think he's bluffing. He definitely showed by killing that guy he's not bluffing.
Yeah, I agree. That's a big part of it. Thanks, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Good night.
Soleimani, he was someone that was not a good dude. Not a good dude at all. The world is absolutely safer without Soleimani here. You know, let me do this real quick. There's a couple of other ways this was taken. Mike Pompeo certainly taking time this weekend to sit down with the big talkers, including CNN with Jake Tapper.
Talk about why you carried out the strike, the intelligence behind it all. Some members of Congress and others who have been briefed on the intelligence say they have not seen sufficient evidence to conclude that the attack you refer to, the attack on Americans, was actually imminent, as you have claimed. When do you plan to share evidence with Congress, with the American people, to clear up any questions here?
Well, the intelligence has been shared with leaders in Congress already, and we'll continue to share that. We'll go up to Capitol Hill and brief them yet again this week, I expect. But the American people have the evidence right in front of their eyes. We don't have to guess about what Soleimani was up to. We know what he did on December 27th. He killed an American. And we know what he's done for years and years and years, killed hundreds of Americans. There's no need to guess about what Soleimani would have been up to the day after and the day after and the day after. This was a bad guy. We took him from the battlefield. We saw that he was plotting further plans to take down Americans, in some cases, many Americans. We took the right action to defend and protect America. President Trump will never shy away from that.
When you say
Well, let's put it this way, too. If you're a leader of a terrorist organization and you're a terrorist yourself and you could be tied to, as Mike Pompeo would say, hundreds of American deaths, including up until the end of December of this year. We're talking just a couple of weeks ago. Is that really such a bad thing that that person would have been targeted by our military and taken out? Is that really such a controversial thing? It shouldn't be.
The attacks were imminent. How imminent were they? Were we talking about days? Were we talking about weeks?
If you're an American in the region, days and weeks, this is not something that's relevant. We have to prepare. We have to be ready. And we took a bad guy off the battlefield. We made the right decision. There is less risk today to American forces in the region as a result of that attack. I'm proud of the effort that President Trump undertook and the execution by our military was phenomenal, and the work that's been done by our diplomats in the region to prepare and to work diplomatically in the region has been powerful, important, and effective.
Mike Pompeo, pretty good, isn't he? I mean, he knows what he should be saying in those situations. You know, Chris Wallace asked a question, too, and it kind of piggybacks off of what Rand Paul said. Rand Paul out there condemning the strike. He's saying that what good is it in the grand scheme of things? It's not going to de-escalate anything. I want to play some clips from Chris Wallace coming up next from Fox. And there was one thing that Lindsey Graham mentioned. Oh, my. I wanted to read a tweet from the washed-up NFL player. Lindsey Graham responded to it because he was asked for a response when he was on Fox as well. I'll play that coming up. But I do want to get your take on this. Come on now. 314-436-7900. That's the number you can call or text in. If you're anywhere in the U.S. right now, it's 800-925-1120. Are you just feeling, whatever? Is that what? That's not the gauge I've been getting as of late. The gauge of this is that everyone wants to talk about it because they think it's going to take us to World War III. It's not a whatever type of story anymore. Maybe it is. Maybe people are just burnt out. Maybe you're burnt out by all of this. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. And here's the thing. I keep looking at who's going to be the next in line. What are they going to be doing in Iran? And it's not like there's only certain people that are in Iran right now in this leadership position in these terrorist organizations. And, oh, we just need to get the right person and the right lead over for this terrorist organization to switch things up. No, not really. I mean, all things considered, the general replacing Soleimani He's been on the terrorist list, named an entity back during the Obama administrations. You'll start to see the headlines popping up there, too. You saw a couple of the other headlines that were going on, too. Trump notifies Congress of warning after lawmakers said they weren't informed about Soleimani's strike in advance. I really am having a hard time. I want to call him Salami, you know, terrorist Salami. But President Trump continued issuing these threats today. More action would happen if Iran retaliates against the U.S. for the killing of the Iranian general Salami, which critics have been calling an illegal action. Some critics are very upset that the United States would dare take out a terrorist, dare take out someone that delights in the idea of slaughtering Americans. And the new ones coming up in that same terrorist organization also delight in that very same thing. And it's no wonder why whoever's going to be named next will be the next target. I mean, President Trump, he wants to take out terrorists. It's just what he's going to do. Some people are very upset about this. Some people are upset that, oh boy, you didn't go through Congress, but forget about the thousands of times President Obama put out drone strikes over and over and over, thousands of times without the approval of Congress. So, you know, President Trump finally reacts and retaliates based on some pretty nasty intel that what this person may or may be heading to do, and let's take care of it. Just take care of it. So what about this, these endless wars? Rand Paul condemned the strike, and he's someone that's been very vocal about getting out of the business of going to other countries and dealing with this. Chris Wallace on Fox was also talking about this with Mike Pompeo.
Is the president pulling us out of endless wars in the Middle East, or with his action this week, did he take a big step back in?
Endless wars are the direct result of weakness, and President Trump will never let that happen. We're going to get it right. We're going to get the force posture right. We're going to get our facilities as hardened as we can possibly get them to defend against what Iran may potentially do. But make no mistake, America's mission is to have our footprint in the Middle East reduced while still keeping America safe, safe from rogue regimes like the Islamic Republic of Iran and from terrorist activity broadly throughout the region.
So is it fair to say that while the big strategy is to pull the U.S. out of endless wars, at least in the short term, that could be more of a commitment?
The Obama administration created enormous risk to the American people in Iran. This administration is working to reduce that risk.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thought, and it's a true thought. I mean, how much was already laid before he got there? Pretty much everything, right? Yeah, everything. The groundwork for the conflicts. Yeah, he might have. It probably didn't help things, you know, the way that he's said, we're done. We're done using the United States as a mat that you wipe your feet on. But rightfully so, someone had to do it, and he was the man to do it. One person texted in at 314-436-7900, says, Winston Churchill was always highly criticized throughout his term as prime minister, but his understanding and caution about Hitler and the ideology was ahead of any other leader. So too with Trump stopping this murderer and not putting up anymore with Iran's crimes, even though ridiculous criticisms among certain congressional members exist. That's a good text message. Thank you for that one. Let's go to Sue, who's calling in from Missouri here. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I agree with you. I agree with Trump. I think it was known that he was behind the raid on our embassy, and you just don't do that. And I think they thought, and maybe had proof, that he was behind the raid on Benghazi. And yeah, we've taken it for a long time from the, why should we not take out somebody who's a terrorist who's killed a lot of our people?
Yeah.
I don't understand. But I do think that if the Americans are not standing behind Trump, I think there's probably a greater likelihood that there will be retaliation by Iran.
You think that they're using some of the criticisms, the congressional criticisms, the people here that are very upset?
I think it will embolden them.
You think so? You think they might be, they're putting together a PR stunt right now to figure out how to grab as many people as they can on their side?
I don't know. I just think that whatever Trump does is not going to be right.
I got to say this. How dumb do you have to be on Iran's side right now, honestly, if you live in the United States?
I don't know. I don't understand. He's killed over 600 of our people. He's going to do it again. He would have done it again. So I don't understand. I think if we're behind Trump and what he did, I think there's a less likelihood of a retaliation.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
All right. Hey, thanks, Sue.
Okay.
And I'm going to play this one clip from Rand Paul again, because this is the point I'm going to make. And Sue brought up a good thing, and it just really logged my memory for a moment. But when Rand Paul goes out there and he says that you condemn the strike, in the grand scheme of things, really, what good does it make? You take out this one terrorist, but they're going to continue with this. So what good does it not do? If you can look at it the reverse, too, if it's a neutral move and you're going to take out someone and Iran's still going to hate us, we leave Soleimani in there, Iran still hates us, you take out Soleimani, Iran still hates us, then how does this hurt us as a country? How does it hurt us to go out there? Let me play Rand Paul again.
Senator, you were saying that U.S. soldiers deserve better than an undeclared war with Iran. Do you think that's what we're looking at here?
I think the problem is that there is an open question whether or not attacks from Iran are more or less likely. You can say that Soleimani was plotting to attack the U.S. May well be true. But with his death, do you think it's more or less likely that Iran and their militias and their proxies will attack the U.S.? I would argue that it's much more likely. And I think as you have an escalation, if they were to kill U.S. soldiers, there will be another response from us, which will be a further escalation. I think without a declaration of war, without Congress and the American people behind it, what you get is a messy mission. You get a mission of escalating intermittent violence, but it really has no purpose or plan, and the country hasn't been told to be united.
All right, so it has no purpose or plan. Maybe part of the plan is you don't attack Americans. Maybe that's the plan all along. And why isn't that the plan? Why shouldn't that be enough for you? Let me play this one last one, because, of course, the people and the washed up. Let me read this real quick. So Colin Kaepernick, for some reason, decided to tweet out, "There is nothing new about American terrorist attacks against black and brown people for the expansion of American imperialism." So Colin Kaepernick just couldn't resist himself, and he thought, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm really going to go out there, and I'm going to defend this Iranian terrorist. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to say, no, I'm on your side. The only reason, you know, forget about all the deaths to Americans. Forget about the chance, the burning of the flags and trying to plan more attacks, more American deaths. Let's forget about all of these things, and let's just try to say the only reason why the United States would ever retaliate against this terrorist is because of the color of his skin. That may be the dumbest thing anyone has said of all of this. And there's been some pretty dumb things said about it all. Lindsey Graham, I don't know why they asked Lindsey Graham about his take on this, but Lindsey had a good response.
Kaepernick writes, "There is nothing new about American terrorist attacks against black and brown people for the expansion of American imperialism." Your response?
Yeah, he's a loser on and off the field. He has no idea what the Iranian regime has done to the region. He has no idea that they have 600 American deaths as a result of IEDs made in Iran, used in Iraq. It's un-American. He's a racist. If you're looking for racism in America, Mr. Kaepernick, look in the mirror. Your country's not the problem. It's the Iranians, and you're so blinded by your hatred of Trump that you can't see the difference between who we are and who the Ayatollah is. Pretty sad.
Way to go, Lindsey Graham. You're a loser on and off the field. Ain't that the truth? All right. We could take some more calls on this. Actually, I thought people, I really had the understanding that there were people on both sides of this and everyone was worked up. Maybe Jeff from Ferguson's right. Give it 5 days, it'll blow over, and no one's going to be talking about this anymore. Maybe everyone's getting all worked up for nothing right now. Maybe this is just all to prime the pump of the news cycle. They got a little bit bored of impeachment going nowhere. They thought, oh, we got to pump something else up. Maybe this is just all, you know, the argument they're trying to push. Pre-manufactured, whatever. That's what they're doing. I think Jeff may be onto something here, because it seems like there's a lot of people listening right now that are, you ask them about, they go, It's Overnight America, KMOX. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. You can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And we're here live until 2 a.m. Central Time. So if you wanted to check out your phone to make sure it's working, You know, your mouth should probably work before the phone. Make sure that's working, too. At 314-436-7900. A couple of other stories that came through. Oh, man, I can't wait to play for you the Ricky Gervais stuff. Oh, my. So the Golden Globes were tonight. All of the Hollywood elites sitting there and just taking it. Oh, man. This is too good. I cannot wait to play that for you. It wrapped up a few hours ago, and I had to go online, and I was searching. It didn't take me long because everyone was talking about it immediately, and it's what everyone's going to be talking about tomorrow. Maybe this is what Jeff was mentioning. Hey, something else will take the reins off of the whole Iran deal, and people are just tired of it already in general, I guess. A couple of other stories that came through, and I wanted to do both of these. Number one, there was a war protest that happened on Saturday. You can find this story at KMOX.com. And it didn't last that long. It broke up around 2 o'clock on Saturday. I don't know how many people showed up for it. But it was, you know, downtown. You could probably see it right from our windows here, depending on what side of the Soldiers Memorial they were. But the recently renovated Soldiers Memorial was vandalized sometime overnight Saturday. The words "No War" and "Hammer and Sickles" were sprayed paint in red. What loser would go around spray painting a war memorial like this, honestly? Bunch of losers. It says their anti-war rally was downtown on Saturday. Guards at the memorial tells KMOX it broke up about 2. Vandalism apparently happened either late Saturday night, Sunday morning. So, you know, when I am in the studio here, I can get a pretty good look at Soldiers Memorial. You know, I'm looking at it right now. And I take note. You see sometimes cars drive and park up and walk in. I don't know if that's just changing of the shifts every once in a while. Sometimes you see someone going around and they're a little like a dustpan and broom. They're just sweeping up, picking up some trash that's around it to keep it generally clean. I really can't see any of the vandalism from here. But then again, by the time I'm at the radio station, it's already dark. But there's always a couple of cars there. I'm surprised no one caught it. I'm really surprised no one caught it. I thought there was a ton of cameras around that place. And I also thought that at the basement of there was that command center. You'd think they would have little escalated security measurements there. But then again, I don't know. Just don't know. Hopefully, whoever did that is caught, but you know that's not going to happen. Here's another quick thing. And Josh Hawley, our senator here in Missouri, one of two, the one that replaced Claire McCaskill and beat her in the general election, he's been tweeting out a couple of things. It says, and let me read this for you. Dems said impeachment was urgent. Now they don't want to have a trial because they don't have, or because they have no evidence. In real world, if prosecution doesn't proceed with case, it gets dismissed. So on Monday, I will introduce a measure to dismiss this bogus impeachment for lack of prosecution. He goes on to say, this will expose Dem circus for what it is, a fake impeachment, abuse of the Constitution based on no evidence. If the Dems won't proceed with trial, bogus articles should be dismissed. And my proposal will take form a motion to update Senate impeachment rules to account for this unprecedented attempt to obstruct Senate trial. Stay tuned. So if Josh Hawley brings that up, he's going to be a big talker that's going to be going across the nation tomorrow. And I know that's going to be a big topic of discussion, I'm sure, on all of the radio stations, including ours. And I think that he's got some points here. And when originally the whole thing was put through, and, you know, it was somewhat rushed, but for the most part, they knew that it didn't have to be a long, drawn-out hearing. They knew the way they were going to vote. Before it all started, they knew this was going to be how they use their power in the House. If they have the majority, they're going to use it this way. They know that in the Senate, it would get nowhere based on what they were presenting and based on what has been known. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think they have anything that was going to be a big bombshell that they're going to bring up. They would really have to, they would really have to go around and call in a lot of favors to the major news networks to try to blow up some of their different pieces of information they had to make it sound like it was a bombshell. I have no doubt leadership in the Democrat Party, when they want something done, they coordinate it with these producers and the people that are on these news networks, and they say, hey, can you give this a little bit more love? Can you pump this up? Can you do this? Can you do that? They give them talking points, and they follow along because they like to have that little game with them. So when they go out and they prepare this sort of thing, and they can't find anything. I think Josh Hawley's right on. I think if they had something that would have been able to remove the president or at least sway enough Republicans from one side to the other in order to put this all together, they would have presented it by now. They would have moved forward with this. either that or they were lying about the urgency of this all. Or maybe the reason why they're holding on to this is because they wanted to be another endless investigation. If the Mueller investigation wasn't long enough, you know, put 2 years plus onto that, spanning all kinds of, you know, let's talk to hundreds of witnesses and, you know, thousands of hours of depositions and, you know, millions of documents, whatever it is, everything that was handed over. If that wasn't enough and nothing was enough to recommend that they put charges up against the president of the United States, they thought, well, maybe I'll drag this one out too. You know, if the Mueller report was 2 years, we could probably at least get a year out of this one. Let's just hang this over there. I think that a lot of people are tired by the games that are being played by politicians. And I think the Democrats certainly have been playing a lot of games the last 3 years. If all they're going to do is play games, then at some point you're going to say, I'm done. I'm going to take the ball and leave. Because if the senators have the power in this point, they have the majority, and there's no way that they're going to have, what, 20 senators, Republican senators, have to switch over in order to make it work for them. I don't think any of that was going to happen. And if the Republicans are smart, which I think Josh Hawley is, he's going to try to put a little pressure and say, all right, we're either doing this or not. What's the old phrase? Do it or get off the pot, right? Try to sanitize that as much as possible. I don't think when Nancy Pelosi goes out there and says, oh, we're doing this because we have the purest of intentions. We want to make sure all these other important bills don't get holed up or, you know, da, 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 da. No, you went on vacation, all right? That's what you did. We could have another government shutdown. We've seen that a lot the last couple of years. We could have issues with Iran going down. We could have that. You know what? Then fine. But I don't think you have any intention to use that as the means to hold off the impeachment. I think you're just doing it because you feel maybe we'll get lucky and something else will come up. Nah, maybe we'll get lucky. I think that's their whole philosophy at this point. When you got nothing, that's what you do. You drag it out as long as you can. And the stalled tactic, I think everyone sees it for what it is because we've seen it a lot lately. All right, coming up in the next hour, Ricky Gervais has really upset a lot of people in Hollywood. I think it's hilarious myself. I pulled a couple of clips from his opening monologue, and we're going to play those coming up. It was on earlier. NBC, I think, is the one airing the Golden Globes. I really don't care who won. It doesn't matter to me. Also, Alex Trebek has a couple of updates, and he said he's prepared his final goodbye speech, and that's kind of sad when you hear that because, you know, it's probably imminent, right? If you're preparing the speech. ABC sat down and talked to him. And our friend Drex, we're going to hook up with him. Oh, it's been a couple of weeks since I've had a chance to talk to Drex, and I'm so happy that we're going to be talking tonight. We cook up Canada and the United States for a segment or two. That'll happen at about 12:30, so a little over a half hour from now. We're going to be looking forward to him. You know, if you want to text the show, you can, but you know what's even better? Well, not necessarily better. Listening to the show, things that you may have missed, if you go to the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. We post all the shows up there for you to enjoy. When we say we post the shows, we just post the shows. It's awesome. KMOX.com/ONA. Give it a try if you haven't. We'll be right back. It's Overnight America on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.